Manhattan and the surrounding area.
And good morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, and I now have in the studio Joshua Smith, who also a Fort Riley veteran, yep. Twice in Iraq, one of the co-founders of the Little Apple Comic Expo that Manhattan Broadcasting was proud to be a part of, and also, and pretty recently, correct? You are the news editor for the Chapman News-Times.
That is correct. I just started in that position in January.
In January?
Yep. So only been a couple of months, but it's going pretty well. Circulation's up, ads are up, I'm happy.
You got into the news business. How was there not anybody to just stop what you were doing? Just like shake you by the shoulders?
Well, after I got out of the military and, of course, stuck around here, my wife and I eventually decided to go to K-State and use my GI Bill. And it was 3 days after graduation that the paper contacted me. They just happened to have a changeover in ownership, and the old editor was retiring. And, I mean, nobody wants to turn down a job 3 days after graduation.
So no.
That never happens. So.
So how's it been? Did you have any past experience in the news biz?
Not at all. In fact, my degree is not even in journalism. I'm a history guy.
Oh, Sam.
There you go, right? Yeah. And my focus was historical publications, so I submitted a few of the papers that I've had published to them, and apparently they really liked my writing style, so it all came down to that, and I'm a talker, so I just kind of combined that. I've never really been much into journalism, but I can talk to people and I can write about it. So just
those are really the two main tenets of
right?
being able to be pretty decent in this business, talking with people,
yeah, talking
recording
people.
What they say and writing about it.
That's yeah.
So it sometimes we make it more complicated than it needs to be, but it really is just that that simple. And again, just to remind, and I mentioned it in the first segment, just to remind you, like we had a caller the last couple days of last week's In Focuses, where we had some school officials on and some of our area lawmakers, and we were talking about a lot of the hot topics of the day, and the caller kept asking if they were in the military, and I don't think they were, so I was like thinking over the weekend, well, like, let's bring somebody in the military, because now, I mean, at least according to some of our callers, your opinion is correct on anything.
You know,
can say whatever. You're good.
Yeah, I get that sometimes. And every once in a while, you'll be talking to somebody and something will come up. A lot of internet arguments. I think Facebook has made that a big thing. Well, did you serve? Well, actually, yes. Yes, I did. You know, and kind of throws that back sometimes when you get that. It's especially because I don't normally have the same opinion as a lot of other veterans. I lean a little lot more liberal. So I sometimes provide opinions that people don't expect.
And I guess just refresh some of our listeners, if you want to just talk to us a little bit about your service and what all that entailed for you.
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland, and in 2002, I enlisted in the U.S. Army. I was in for 5.5 years, supposed to be a 4-year term, but I got stop lost, which is you cannot leave your unit because there's not enough people to replace you twice. I went to Iraq 2 times, first time 2003 to 2005. I was there for a little over 15 months in Tikrit. And then my second time, I was in Taji Air Base from 2006 to 2007. That's also in Iraq. My first time around, I was a convoy gunner, which is just a delightfully terrible job.
It sounds cool.
It is cool, and I have some neat stories about it. But I'm by trade a calibrator. I'm a technician. And I got tricked into doing, and I say tricked, but it was fun. It was, hey, do you want to go out and shoot this big gun? Oh, yeah, that sounds like a blast. And I ended
up. No pun intended, of course.
And I ended up qualifying with a 50 caliber machine gun. And they're like, oh, well, now, Specialist Smith, you can be a convoy gunner. And so that's what I did. I did 152 days out of fence, 152 missions in my first deployment in 15 months. It was a nightmare.
In what way?
It's very difficult. It's very stressful, even when you're not involved in action. Like, I never had any incidents where I was shot at a couple of times, but nothing ever, like, heavy combat. But it's just stressful. Every time you go out of that fence, you know that I'm the guy that was literally on top of the Humvee with my head and shoulders and chest sticking out.
So you were the you're the first. If somebody was going to come out, yeah, you're the target. Yeah.
I'm the target. And of course, you do have a big gun, but at the same time, this is going to sound crazy to somebody who's in the Army, but I didn't really want to hurt anybody. I mean, I was in the Army for college money. That's the reason I was there. And I was there to do my job, but at the same time, it was difficult to be out there and just be very stressed out every single day. You're driving the same routes all the time. You're following the same vehicles. You're seeing the same people. And then one day there's a big boom off to your left or off to your right, or you start hearing some pings and they're like, what's that? Oh, that's people shooting off of our armor. And so you just never know when that is. And to this day, we live near Fort Riley now. And when they test artillery, I still wake up at night. Because it throws you off, even all these years later.
Just kind of that, just takes you back a little bit.
Yeah. One night while we were sleeping, a mortar came down and hit an abandoned. So there was no one in it, but an abandoned barracks right next to the ones we were sleeping in, and it was 30 yards, maybe 40, from where we were sleeping. And when you're in a dead sleep and you get woken up to a earth-shaking blast and debris literally raining down on the tent you're sleeping in, it makes it so that next time when you're sleeping you hear a loud boom, you always come up. You always come up ready to go. And sometimes it happens at Fort Riley, especially they've been doing these night tests lately, and just keeps me up.
I think they've kind of wrapped those up now.
Yes, finally. The sounds were just rolling right down that hill, and it was whew.
Well, you know, as a veteran, and you were in Iraq twice.
Yes, right? 2003 to 2005, and then 2006 to 2007.
And your role was a little different the second time, wasn't it?
Yeah, the second time around, an NCO discovered that I was very good at paperwork and very organized, and I could type very fast. So my second time around, they pulled me off convoy duty, and I was an office nerd. You know, I did paperwork. I worked for my plus also I've been promoted. At that point, I was no longer Specialist Smith that could be pushed around. I was Sergeant Smith, so I had a little bit of, you know, pull behind me, and I was able to get into an office, and it was a much easier position. Plus, I was married the second time. My first deployment, I was a single soldier, a little more gung-ho. Second time around, all I could think about was my wife, so I just kind of wanted to be a little safer. So I was very happy that my commander allowed me to do that.
And how long was that deployment?
That one was actually right on 12 months. We left on August 23rd, which was the day before my birthday, and we returned on August 23rd, the day before my birthday, 2006 to 2007. We didn't get stuck for an extra amount of time. My first time, we were supposed to leave at 12 months, and they're like, oh, no, you guys can stick around for an extra three. So.
Brady Bowman here with Joshua Smith, Fort Riley veteran, the news editor at Chapman News Times, and also one of the co-founders of the Little Apple Comic Expo that just wrapped up in March. And going on that a little bit, and we'll just kind of bounce around on all sorts of different stuff. But I definitely don't want to forget to maybe kind of have a little recap on how LACE went. Again, Manhattan Broadcasting, a partner with you guys on that.
And you guys were awesome.
I was there, it was great. It was a great con. I got a lot of great books.
I spent way too much money at my own show, which always happens.
At your own show.
I never do, I never get a chance to go out on the floor and buy stuff. I saw you a few times. You always had a nice sack of goodies that you had picked up until the very end. And then I finally go around and I kind of hit up all the things that I wanted to do.
Well, that's where the deals are.
That's it, exactly.
The very end.
But yeah, it went really well. And I actually, Manhattan Broadcasting, you guys killed it. Over and over again, we heard all day long that people had heard that commercial. And the commercials, and they were like, oh, well, I'm here because I heard about it on the radio. I was like, oh, thank you.
And so, what were some of those numbers?
2,329 people was our final tally for this year. That is our second best show ever. That was our best show at the K-State Union, which traditionally people the last couple of years said they had trouble finding or they didn't know about it. This year they heard about it on the radio and they knew where to go. So 2,320, I could not be happier with that.
And what were you expecting? Because this was also the same day as Fake Patty's Day.
Right? our break-even number was 650 people. Like, that's all we needed to break even.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Right? All we ever want to do is to have a good time. We're not trying to be the biggest show in Kansas. That's Planet Comic Con, and it's awesome. You know, it's over in KC.
In Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah. Us here in Manhattan, we just I like comic books. I like the culture, and I like this community. So we just want to do something fun. At the very least, we know 2,329 people had a good day, which is really, at the end of the day, what we're really looking to do. And we made enough to do another one. So next year, change of venue, but next year we'll be doing 2 days in, I don't know if we've hammered down the day yet. So it's either going to be in April or February.
And in 2 days, and should be in the Manhattan Conference Center, right?
Manhattan Conference Center.
A little more space.
A lot more space. Three times as much space. So I have, and we've already got great guests lined up. I mean, just top tier comic book guys. In fact, we can even say one, because I got Larry Hama, who's co-creator of G.I. Joe, and my favorite Wolverine writer of all time.
Co-creator of G.I. Joe.
Yeah, when they brought it back in the 80s and they did the little 3¾-inch figures transitioning from the big ones to the little ones, the Marvel began making a comic book at the same time in conjunction with Hasbro. And Hasbro only had so many figures, whereas the comic book needed to have a full cast. So Larry Hama was the guy that – he was just an associate editor at Marvel, former military veteran who was an associate editor, done a little bit of art, a little bit of writing. But he wanted to do it as a vet.
So co-creator of the book.
Of the comic book. Of the 80s version, the ones that people remember from the 80s. Not the classic. I mean, the classic G.I. Joe is great, but this is the guy that created Snake Eyes and Lady J and Duke and all those guys, General Hawk. But yeah, he basically needed to fill the cast of the comic book. They only had 8 figures in that original line, whereas he needed at least 20 for the comic book. And so he created like Cobra Commander and Destro and all those things, all those 80s kids like myself that love those characters. This is the guy that made all of them. So,
and he'll be here.
And he will be here. We actually reached out to him for this year, but we were a little late. So we got him to confirm for next year. This year, if that makes any sense.
Well, that's really awesome. And the first year you did Lace was at the Manhattan Conference Center.
Yes.
So you'll have more space. Will it be the same amount of space then, or this will be even more space than that first
year? Even more than that first year. That first year, we were only able to get half of the venue just because they had another event going on the same day.
Well, they have a lot of them.
Exactly. They're always busy.
Yeah.
So this time, though, and that was actually part of the problem with us getting in there, was trying to get a time frame where we could get the whole space, and now we have it. So it's about 3 times the size of our traditional venue at the Union, and about twice the size that it was our first year. We will have room for, I believe Ali already started on the map, and 155 booths as opposed to the 59 we had this year. So 155, I think, was the final number. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, 3 times as big.
Yeah, let me know when you know those dates so I can go ahead and put in my time off form.
There we go.
as quick as I can. Let's go ahead and take our second break. We'll talk more with Josh Smith here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged, get 24/7 response from Restore of the Heartland. 776-96